Hello, everybody. I am Jamie Christine, and welcome to my podcast, Transcend, where I always aim to open minds, expand consciousness, and raise vibration. Today, I have a guest, Amy Pierre-Rousseau with Excelsior Pro Coaching. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Jamie. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. Glad to have you. So today we are going to talk a little bit about, or probably a lot about, imposter syndrome, limiting self-belief, negative self-talk. So basically, let's just get kind of your backstory. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on. I'm so excited to be here. My background is that I recently, over the past year, launched my own coaching company, Excelsior Pro Coaching. And basically, it came out of a need to want to support people one-on-one and just fully support personal development goals. My background is in HR, where I worked in different industries, tech startups, and architecture and consulting. And throughout all the different companies, I saw this thread of some people not being as confident advocating for themselves, not sure what was on the table to negotiate. So while, you know, one person would be having this amazing experience and have all their share options negotiated and then, you know, vacation and, you know, flexible schedule, all of these things, the person beside them who is less willing to raise their hand and ask for what they needed, would over time, I would watch it really affect people and have them lead to time management issues, burnout, which I saw a lot of over quarantine and the pandemic, obviously, when we're home juggling all of these things. So I decided I really wanted to learn people's goals and be able to walk them through how to get the balance that they're looking for.
Very cool. And I'm sure you've probably dealt with your own fair share of imposter syndrome yourself.
Definitely. And my background, my family, my parents moved here from Haiti, and I grew up in the States, but because I don't really have a huge group of people in my corner to like ask unique questions, and especially working in HR, I really got to understand the other side of benefits management and share options and like what people's experience are that they, you know, what they should be asking. And so that led me to really, you know, have open eyes on both ends of that experience. And as I met other people who were in similar situations and just didn't really have a huge pool of people, resources to go to, I just felt like, oh, okay, I could do that. Like I can have these conversations with these people and really walk them through what they should be asking and might not know who else to go to.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely familiar with imposter syndrome myself. I actually wrote a book. One of my biggest dreams was to be a published author someday. And I finished writing my first novel in 2017. And I was exciting, but it sat there on my hard drive until 2020. It was kind of my big push. The shutdown was a blessing in disguise in many ways. But that period of time between 2017 and 2020, I used all the excuses of my busy life, which I've always had a busy life, but it wasn't an excuse because at the same time too, it was like, I was just scared. I was hiding behind the what ifs. I was hiding behind, you know, are people going to receive this? Am I going to get ridiculed? Because I got some kind of out there concepts in the book that I wrote that I don't know, like isn't mainstream in my small town. And I just was scared of how it would be received and just scared of putting myself out there. A lot of that negative self-talk, like I'm not good enough. I'm not a professional writer. I didn't take any formal writing classes or training. So who am I to do this? So just heard a little ding, but I don't know what that was. Anyway, so yeah, that's kind of my story of my main experience with imposter syndrome. But yeah, I finally, 2020 was kind of my big like push, like, you know what, just do it. Like the world's ready. And if they're not, who cares? You did the thing.
That's incredible. I love that. And I completely just agree. And I feel like especially nowadays with social media, it makes it even more heightened that you're watching other people and everyone shares, you know, the best of what's going on in their life. And then in professional roles, I kind of feel like across all levels, you're more junior, you feel like, oh, everyone's got things figured out. And as you're more senior, you move into this more like limited pool, fewer people in your circle. And so that can have its own feelings of like at different stages, just looking over your shoulder, unsure that you're there for the right reasons, that if people are questioning, you know, your expertise, your skill level. And I definitely felt that as well. I definitely felt that just pressure to be like, am I in the right place? But more than feeling that is I wasn't aware at the time how much that limits people. To be able to like play with, oh, I want X, Y, and Z if you're already feeling insufficient or like you there's limitations on your capabilities, perhaps.
Yeah. What would you say is your best advice to somebody who needs that confidence boost? Or what was your own personal story of boosting your own confidence to kind of overcome all?
Yeah, I would say find out what works for you and build in some time in your schedule to test out and try out different things that give you some grounding, give you a better understanding of getting in tune with your own mind-body connection, because I think especially a lot of the people who I talk to who are doing all the things and are so busy and leading like a burnout lifestyle, they don't even have the time or space to pause and say like, oh, this is what I actually want. These are my goals. This is what I want out of this situation. And so it just leads to them feeling like a hamster on a wheel, you know, going through all the motions.
Yes.
Yeah, but with a lack of direction. And so I would say it's not something that looks the same for everyone. Some people journaling is wonderful and other people, it doesn't work for them. Meditation, being active, going and exercising, doing yoga, like there's all these different things to try out and just see what works for you. But I would also say, see how that changes over time. There might be one thing that looks amazing in one season of your life, and then you decide, you know, years later, it's not serving you anymore. So keeping that time to test out what new options you want to explore.
Yeah, I love that. I love honoring the seasons in life because we do change. And what works for us at one point may not be the same thing that works for us a decade later. And honoring that is so important. Yeah. And I love the analogy of the hamster wheel. I've actually been using that a lot lately, just describing a lot of people's lives. It's like, yeah, you're spinning and spinning and moving and working, not really going anywhere.
And it's so funny because I feel like that closely relates to the idea of the law of attraction and attracting what you want, is because with a lot of the people I work with who haven't taken that space to figure out, this is what I want out of this role, this scenario in my life, they're unable to communicate it because they haven't taken the time to sort it out for themselves. And so it's so funny when I work with people over time, as we clarify, like, oh yes, this is what I want out of this position. These are the skills I want to develop. This is the balance I want to see for myself. They're able to then utilize that knowledge to advocate for themselves because their boss knows about it, their senior leadership, their friends, their family know the direction that they want to go in. And people are saying, oh, didn't you want to be on a podcast? I met this person who has a podcast. Let me connect you. Where you miss out on all those opportunities where you don't have the time and space to vocalize what you want.
Absolutely. I'm a huge believer in the law of attraction and I use it on a regular basis, just keeping it in mind simply. And yeah, it's amazing how there's something you may want or need that could benefit your life and moving forward and poof, the right person or the right thing just kind of comes into your life. That's perfect. That's a perfect fit for what you're needing. So yeah. One thing that came to mind while we were talking about this imposter syndrome and part of my own journey overcoming it as well is the term fake it till you make it. What are your thoughts on that?
Oof, I feel like my I got a little like stressed even as you say that. Because on the one hand, it's like, yes, I believe we have to, in some cases, fake it until you make it. And I feel like in professional settings, that's kind of the norm, right? Everyone's faking it. And some people are so good at faking that you can't tell.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this, I do feel like it kind of leads to this heightened sense that like, oh, everyone's got it under control. Everyone's doing so well. And again, making you feel like the outlier in settings. But I will say sometimes, depending on where you are in your growth journey, you might at times need to pull from a little bit of, okay, I can fake it for now until you get where you want to be and feel like you have your footing beneath you. But I would say overall, I hope that people remember not to lean on it so much that they don't build a support network around them. Because that's the biggest thing. Like if you're faking it and so focused on putting your attention on faking, you may not also be balancing out your attention and energy on growing the skills that you really do want to be more confident in letting people in. This has been such a season of vulnerability. Yeah. And so like if you're able to let people in, all of these conversations that you set the stage for, allow people to talk about their areas where they can develop, their areas where they feel weaknesses. And it's such a powerful tool to help people who are looking to you. And so that's another thing I really hope that people don't lose in getting so caught in faking it.
Yeah. I love that description. In fact, like everything that you said aligns so much with what I believe about it too. While at the same time, I keep thinking it would be nice if we had a different term for it, because I have experienced myself where I feel like I faked it until I made it. Yet the faking it part was more of like an internal knowing that I am good enough, but it wasn't on the surface quite yet. Like there was part of me that believed, yes, I am good enough. I am capable enough. I am worthy enough. And there was another part of me that's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. And I feel like the faking it part was simply like shushing that voice that said, no, you're not. And overcoming that and just, you know what? I'm going to pretend that I am. I'm going to pretend that I'm good enough. I'm going to pretend that I'm worthy enough and capable enough and all of that. And I'm going to do that enough to where that pretending I am good enough resurfaces that knowing that I'm good enough. And then all of a sudden it's like, I don't feel like I'm faking it anymore. I feel like I believe it now. And that's been my personal experience with fake it till you make it. So it's like, there was an authenticity that I was pulling from within myself that felt fake at first, because I've been so scared and so hidden and, hiding behind my limiting beliefs. And then, yeah, once I drew from that authenticity, I quieted those voices that said I'm not good enough. Then, yeah, I was able to come forward and say, yes, I am good enough. And this is real. This is the real me. I'm not faking that anymore.
You did such a beautiful job of describing that, because I know I kind of glossed over it a little and talked about this mind-body connection, but the way that you lay that out and just say there is a part internally that's saying, like, I'm capable, I believe myself, I can do this. And this other part tugging at you, like, oh, don't put yourself out there, stay hidden. And I think just so wrapped up in that fear that exists when it's your first time doing something, like your book, again, excited about that. And it's okay that, you're not perfect your first time doing something new, but I think we feel so much pressure in faking it until we make it, to put up this air again, with like social and everyone seeming like, oh, everything's so perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. To pretend that, oh no, like, you know, you've got it under control, and to not be as vulnerable, to really deeply let people in. So I love that you describe that. And I do see that as people build in time to have that mind-body connection and understand why there's some fear, acknowledge what's going on with themselves, they're able to put their best foot forward and really confidently step into the part that believes they're capable.
Yes, I love that. So perfect. And yeah, I've had a lot of conversations lately about social media and how that does seem to bring forward a lot of people's negative self-talk so easily. Because yeah, everyone does post their highlight reel. Like, we only post the best, because, you know, I'm not going to take pictures of me fighting with my kids. So let's post it. But it's real. It happens. And, you know, everyone has those uglier moments that happen in their life all the time. But nobody wants to share that on, especially in social media. So, and especially too, like, I like to get on social media and it be a positive thing. Like, oh, I like seeing the good things going on in people's lives and celebrating those things with them. But I think there's a lot of people too that have, I guess you could call it a jealousy aspect maybe, or an insecurity aspect that kind of comes forward when they see, oh, this family is going on this wonderful vacation and I don't get to go on wonderful vacations. And I must not be a very good mother because I don't take my kids on wonderful vacations. You know, it's just like other people's stories pull in people questioning themselves, like, oh, this person's doing all these wonderful things and I'm not. So I guess I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that happens.
It really is. And it also is making me think of those seasons that we were talking about before, because I see for a lot of people that they mention, and even myself, like taking a social media break and like not looking at it, escaping, and that being one way. But I also say, like, go a step further. And from time to time, as you go through these seasons of life where things change for yourself, maybe that person that you followed, you know, 2 years ago is not quite aligned with your new season, where you're going, the direction you want for yourself. And so I would say every now and again to kind of go through and, like you said, who is sharing positivity, who is sharing uplifting messages, who, when I see their reel come through, makes me smile. And, you know, both the good and the bad sometimes finds opportunities to share some vulnerability, some honesty about real aspects of life, and keep engaged with those people. Again, back to the law of attraction, attract more of that in your life, and shed some of those things that maybe aren't serving us anymore.
Yeah, that's hard to do because some people get into a comfort zone where things that aren't serving them are, they just feel too normal and they don't want to let go of that feeling of normal because it is, well, it's a comfort zone. They're familiar with it.
Definitely.
But yeah, I love that allowing yourself to be vulnerable too is so important. Mm-hmm. That's actually something that's really helped me overcome insecurities, was getting to know more of those vulnerable aspects of other people, knowing that other people struggle in the same ways that I do, knowing that other authors have had imposter syndrome, for example, that helped me out a ton. I was like, oh my gosh, I look up to all these other authors out there and it's like, they did it. Their book is on the shelf, but you don't see the journey leading up to that book on the shelf. Like, they had a journey just like I did, just like we all do, that they questioned themselves. They didn't believe in themselves. They didn't think they were good enough. They questioned if this story was worth sharing or if anybody would get anything out of it or if they were wasting their time or whatever. And you don't see that part of that author's journey. All you see is that finished product and that beautiful book on the shelf and all the accolades that go with it. And I had to remind myself, like, I'm on the part of the journey that all the other authors have been on. And I want to get to the part of the journey where my book's on the shelf too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's remembering, like, we're all human. We all question ourselves at some point in time. We all think maybe we're not good enough. And the people who have succeeded are the ones that shushed that voice and powered through and found out they are good enough.
Yeah. And your correlation to this book writing journey you were on makes me think a lot about my entrepreneurship journey. And when I decided to leave HR and start this company, I also was just kind of like, ooh, this is something like really new. It's very different. And seeked out having a lot of conversations with business owners, entrepreneurship or entrepreneurs that I knew and admired, who shared such an abundance of resources and tools. But I think, like you said, it's getting to look behind that curtain and see like, oh, this is their actual experience. Like I see all of these wonderful accolades that they've accomplished today, but I didn't realize, you know, when they were starting out, before they decided to start their business, like there was all of this additional context, which I know like kind of sounds like it goes without saying, but I think when I think about coaching overall, it's so funny to me, like how many leaders and entrepreneurs who I admire have not just one coach, but several coaches. And I'm sure you realized this during your book writing journey is when you set out to accomplish a very specific thing. Like you can have a book writing coach, you can have a business coach, you can have a life coach, like all of these different pieces kind of supporting one another. And I just love that because sometimes I feel like people worry if they don't already have the supports in their life, like, no, like, what do I do? Like maybe you have a spouse that's not super supportive. Maybe your friends are questioning if that's the right direction you should take, or your family. And so it's just awesome to know that there's such a network out there where you can find a coach for anything, and really get that extra support and accountability to get you there.
That's huge. I totally agree with that. And yeah, whether they call themselves a coach or not, anybody that assists you on that journey, like we can't do it alone. And I think a lot of people think that, oh, I gotta push through this alone. It's like, no, the more people you have in your corner and in your support group, the farther you're going to get. And yeah, there's people of all different kinds of abilities and like so many different things that you can draw from, like marketing's not really my thing and web development isn't my thing, but hey, I found a person who that is their thing and he helped me on that part of the journey. And then, Andre Smith, he was part of the group where we met. Yeah. He helped me, or he was my coach for the authorship part of the second book that I wrote. And I had a life coach along the way to help me overcome my own beliefs and my personal journey. Right. And it's like all these little pieces of the big puzzle of my life involved all of these different people coming together and working with me on this journey. And that's the same with everybody.
Yeah, same. I'm so grateful for my coaches. And even though I was so unfamiliar with the aspect of coaching at one point in my life, it's so funny because now I'm actually at a point where I couldn't imagine going through these new stages and new things that I explore doing all by myself. And even saying that out loud, it's like, well, why would I want to? Why would I ever? There's such an abundance of knowledge, resources that exist out there to pull from.
Yeah.
And me being a coach is so mutually beneficial. I learned so much from my clients and support them. We're able to learn from and grow with one another.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. So we had talked a little bit about limiting beliefs too. Mm-hmm. Did you want to expand on that? Because I feel like everybody can relate to limiting beliefs, but it's something we don't open up about enough.
Yeah. Limiting beliefs for sure. I think one thing I hear commonly is the prioritization of addressing it. I think it's like this big, deep, heavy thing that you, again, are on your hamster wheel. And you, especially for people who have been feel like they've been on this path to succeeding, quote unquote, in a specific way. But just people who are in professions that took a long time to get into, or put a lot of schooling or training to get to where they are, they feel like, well, I've done all of this, and a lot of hesitation if they're not feeling fulfilled with it. On making a change or even figuring out, you know, how to make the change. So I think a big part of the limiting beliefs is finding the urgency of like, why now? Why should I address this now? When you've already, you know, gotten to where you are, you kind of are hesitant to shake things up. So I think that's a little bit funny in and of itself, because that alone is a limiting belief, to think that you can't take all of what you've done and shift it into something that's going to support you into what will be fulfilling, and what will connect you to what you are passionate about, if you've not found that yet, or if you don't have enough time for what you're truly passionate about in life. But yeah, that's definitely one thing, is that people from different career stages, even entrepreneurs, being able to find like, okay, this is urgent now because I need to better support the people who are looking up to me. If you're a leader in an organization, like, people are going to relate to you more if you acknowledge and work on your own limiting beliefs, and kind of pull back a little bit of that curtain that we were talking about, where, you know, maybe someone junior is really struggling, and you want to support them. Or if you're that really junior person, understanding that everyone goes through it, because I've had a lot of people have this kind of like aha moment where it's like, oh no, I thought everyone was just kind of chugging along and everyone was awesome except for me. And just slowly, gradually realizing that's not the case. And you have so many beautiful, wonderful gifts that you bring to the table. So being able to celebrate those as you develop in other areas.
Yeah, for sure. I think it goes to say feeling alone is a huge setback, huge holdup. So realizing that there are other people that have the same fears and same insecurities and same limiting beliefs, just like we all do, you know, like you said, sometimes it feels like, oh, I'm the only one that feels this way. Everyone else out here is awesome and they're accomplishing things and they're doing all this wonderful stuff. And I'm not, who am I to accomplish something great? When in reality, all of those people who had all those wonderful accomplishments came from the exact same place of wondering, who am I to do all these wonderful things?
Yeah. And one thing that's standing out to me as well, when I, before, when I mentioned like the social media clear out, or evaluating who you're spending time with, who's in your network that really serves you and energizes you and motivates you and all of those pieces, and who isn't. But I think as we talk about this idea of like the limiting beliefs that you're working through and not doing it alone, sometimes that process of kind of clearing out or reprioritizing your time can really open up and make space for new people who are either experiencing the same limiting beliefs that you're experiencing currently, and you can kind of relate to one another, or the people who are a few steps ahead of you and developing on that limitation, and just kind of looking to them, pulling them in for support, and really being able to understand what things look like on the other side of overcoming that limiting belief.
I love that. Yes. Finding that person who's about two or three steps ahead of you. Yeah, that's huge. And knowing that, yeah, you can be there too. And I found too, one of the most challenging things I found as I was working towards overcoming my own limiting beliefs and working towards bettering myself is, yeah, like you said, the people that you surround yourself with is so important. Yet through the law of attraction, as you align with that higher vibration, the people who are part of your lower vibration might kind of fall to the wayside, or those relationships may start to dissolve. And I think that's a hard thing to go through, because it's hard to let go of a relationship, even if you realize it's not serving you, or even if you don't realize it's not serving you and the universe is clearing it out for you. That's a hard thing. And I think people can tend to get kind of hung up on like, oh no, I don't want to lose this person. I don't want to lose that relationship, and just kind of forget that, or not even realize that it's important to just allow things to flow. And and that, yeah, that season is over, that chapter of life is over, that served its purpose. And as you want to grow and align with something higher, it's important to align yourself with other people who are in that place in life too.
Yeah, I love that. It's true. I feel like you had mentioned the idea of getting comfortable before, and I think that's so tied in it. We think of who maybe you grew up with or who has supported you maybe in the past in different stages. And so you build such comfort around those relationships that it sometimes feels hard to shed, or like you said, even if it's happening organically, to shed some of those relationships, especially if it's for the unknown. And so to make sure that you are focusing on, you know, those people that are, feels like they're pulling you up, they're embracing who you are, they're a couple of steps ahead of you in the direction that you want to go in, for what's really serving you in life, as opposed to feeling like you're just letting go of some previous relationships almost like for no reason or for no new purpose. So I think acknowledging that it's okay for something to have its time, and then kind of like move on, transition, shift your time and energy on something new, can be really fulfilling and rewarding if we acknowledge kind of just that we don't have to live in that space of comfort, but it's actually really rewarding when you push yourself outside of that comfort.
Yeah, that very first time pushing yourself outside that comfort zone is scary and challenging. But yeah, like you said, it's so rewarding. And I believe too, well, I know it gets so much easier to continue to push yourself outside of that comfort zone. The more you do it, and the more you realize how rewarding it is when you get there.
True. Definitely. Yeah.
Awesome. Is there any other suggestions for people looking to work on their limiting beliefs that are outside of a career path?
Yeah, I think outside of career, and I like that question because I think, especially because I've worked in HR and I have this kind of like professional lens a lot of the time, I definitely don't just focus on professional. It's so important that our personal life is, we're feeling good about things, we have a good foundation. And so outside of that, I would say, you know, whatever you can pour time and energy into to make sure that you're feeling like you're building your foundation to excel in the life that you want to have, not just as some people come to me and they're like, well, I don't know what I want to be doing. I don't have the passion carved out yet. And so realizing that that's okay, but you can still work on the other components, your wellness, your personal development. And I think things like this podcast, you know, listening to other people, other guests that you have on your show, you know, figuring out who you'd like to be following, who you'd like to be, just hearing new opportunities that are out there is a great start. And then also just reading things like the Four Agreements are just awesome to kind of escape and really, really have space to create new awareness for yourself. Think about different possibilities outside of that comfort zone that you've been living in potentially.
Yeah, I love the Four Agreements. The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho
comes from such a good
one. Yeah, it's so good. Just such a great story on finding your path and aligning with what's right for you, despite what society thinks is right for you. So, and I think that's kind of like the overarching theme there is, it's so important to go within and listen to your own inner voice, to be in tune with yourself and know what feels good to me. And like you said, we may not know what our passion is. You know, that person may not have their passion quite figured out yet. But I mean, I think we all know what feels good to us. You know, does it feel good to play a musical instrument? Does it feel good to go for a run? Does it feel good to bake cookies? You know, like we all have those little things that feel good to us in our lives. So it's like, you don't have to know exactly what your passion is, but continue to fill your life with things that feel good. And be aware of what feels good. Be aware of that uplifted, heightened feeling that you get when you do things that that do fulfill you or make you feel good in the moment. and start relating that to the people that you surround yourself to. Mm. Like, do I feel kind of dragged down when I'm hanging with this person? Are they, you know, sharing all the negative aspects of their life without any intention of lifting that part of their life up or finding a solution to some of the problems that they have in their life? Are they just always complaining? And we all know people like that. But, and then, yeah, pay attention, like, oh, this person really wants to focus on positive things. They want to celebrate the wins in their life. You know, there's so many people with fear-based mindsets. There's so many people who get caught up in anger and frustration.
Yeah.
I don't like feeling that way. I don't want to hang out in that angry, fear-based place. So yeah, the more you are self-aware, the more you're aware of like, ew, this doesn't feel good to me, the more you can say, all right, well, I'm going to draw a line here and not surround myself or do those things or hang out with those people. Oh, this does feel good to me. I'm going to get more of this in my life.
Yeah. Those examples you highlight of like real life scenarios of increasing your awareness are so important, because I think when we do get into a cycle of sometimes running on autopilot, it can be a little shut off. Like, you're no longer thinking about, oh, this is what I really enjoy, or like tapping into what intuitively feels right, feels good, feels like the track you want to be on. And so to kind of realign in that, in those ways that you describe, and be able to find opportunities to tap back into that, are so valuable to get you re-engaged with your own purpose, your own direction. And I think oftentimes the people who come to me and are kind of like, I have no idea, I don't know my passion, or sometimes know their passion and aren't sure how to make it lucrative or main source of income, those things, those kinds of things. It's sometimes going back to things that feel a little bit unrelated. And that's why I say like the personal side is so important as structure, as foundation. Because like you said, it's like your life training for what's going to set you up to be successful and to thrive in all of these different areas of your life. And so I couldn't agree more with what you were saying about just tapping into yourself and trusting, giving yourself opportunities, low stakes, to trust your gut.
Yes. I love it. So good. That's a hard thing for people to overcome, especially when you get so trained to keep running on the hamster wheel. But yeah, once you start making those little changes, like go bake some cookies if you like doing that. And you know, once you continue to implement those things into your life, the easier it gets and the more aligned you become with that. And then the law of attraction works for you. And then it's just sailing from there.
Yeah. And it'll grow into bigger and bigger. Like maybe it's, you know, baking cookies for, you know, this week. And then like, what are you adding to that next week and into the upcoming months? It's just like the endless possibilities of opening yourself up for more, more connection with the things around you, where you want to be going, opening yourself up to more people who are aligned with those interests and that your values as well.
Yeah, for sure. And to remember too, there's not a one size fits all. I think a lot of people get caught up in comparing, like meditation is something that comes to mind. It's like, oh, meditation's so good for you. You should do it like 15 to 20 minutes a day, make it a daily practice. And it's like, man, I'm still struggling to really like doing that. There's some different meditation practices I've liked, like there's different breath work techniques and stuff. But just sit and meditate, it's like, that's not really something I'm, and then that's the thing. It's like, I was kind of beating myself up like, oh, I'm missing out on some self-benefit by not getting into a daily meditation practice, when instead it's like, okay, maybe that's just not my thing. And that's okay. What is my thing? You're going to go do my thing.
I love that. It's, so good, because I keep thinking about how it relates to professional things. You have these huge, like things that feel huge and daunting. How do I go about, I need XYZ amount of an increase. I need this new, this promotion. Like how can I go about it? And because of that, I've seen people wait and, you know, stall and, you know, wait until the last minute until it's too late to, you know, raise their hand, voice how they really feel about something. And so what you're saying about just bit by bit, starting it out, I feel like that comes up a lot of times with eating better, with exercise, as well as like, oh, I have to do, they say I'm supposed to do 150 minutes a week, but right now I'm doing 30. It's like, but like finding any pocket of time that you can gradually work towards where you want to be is, you know, it doesn't have to be overnight. And so, like you said, even with meditation, that felt very daunting. I'm not anywhere near doing 20 minutes of meditation a day, but like, even if I do 2 minutes, that feels like, okay, I shut my mind off. I got an opportunity to breathe and kind of refocus my energy. So like, figure out where your starting point is and know that it's okay. Acknowledge that, accept it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. You found out what works for you and you stopped comparing yourself to, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And instead celebrate the 2 minutes that you do instead of beat yourself up over it not being 20 minutes. Like, that's perfect.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Is there anything else that you'd like to share about your offering or any other thoughts on anything we've talked about so far?
Yeah, I would just say if anyone's listening and kind of feels like, oh, I haven't thought of coaching, I don't know if coaching is for me. Similar to, this is the perfect place to talk about it, like similar to what we're talking about, like even if you don't feel like 100% sure, that kind of a thing, or you just want to have a conversation, I do free introductory conversations. So they're up to 45 minutes. So I can learn about you and figure out, you know, what your goals are, where you want to be, how I can support you, if I'm the right person to support you. And you can do the same. You know, figure out what feels right, start testing your gut, listening to if I'm the right person for you to sit down with. And so right on my website, Celsia Pro Coaching, introductory conversation, and we can sit down and chat, no obligation.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like there's so many people out there who would benefit from coaching, and just to put themselves out there, like, yeah, have that, take that time to get to know you and know what coaching is all about. How can it benefit me? I think it's so important to just take the time to explore that. And even if you may not be the right fit for a person, at least it gets them out there in exploring the possibility of coaching in general. I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe I do need a support system, and maybe I need to find the person that is going to help me on whatever part of the journey that I'm on. So, you know, if maybe like career and professional avenues aren't what they're looking for, and they're looking for more of, I don't know, whatever, a different avenue of their life. You know, there's so many different people out there who have expertise in so many areas that it would benefit to just get a support system and get off your hamster wheel.
Definitely, to shake things up and to just be starting to think of new questions, new perspectives. Can kind of cast on a scenario that might seem very set, like might seem pretty set and clear cut. I just feel like being able to provide that objective, you know, perspective, objective conversation to shine new light on the situation and give some options, some different paths that might work. I love strategically problem solving. So it's really fun to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, do you like to focus more on people on an entrepreneurial journey, or do you pretty much like to work with anybody? My question is, what's more of your niche market? Who are the people that you're seeking to work with?
Yeah. Absolutely. So right now it's mostly professionals and entrepreneurs, but it tends to be people who are either women of all backgrounds or people of color. And again, just going back to the imposter syndrome, I feel like it's more of a group that walks in that journey and really has a lived experience of feeling the imposter syndrome daily and can really resonate with that. So that's the group I'm pretty connected to. Those are the groups.
Yeah, perfect. That's probably a pretty big group. I know there's a lot of people out there with imposter syndrome.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Awesome. All right. Oh, is there anything else you'd like to touch on before we wrap up?
I think just my thanks for you and your energy and you creating this platform and this forum to have these conversations. I hope it's helpful to people. And I just, you know, really appreciate the time and the conversation. So genuine.
Oh, thank you. And you're welcome. Thank you for being on it. This has been a really great conversation. A lot of things that I feel are so important. So I'm really happy that you were able to come on and share your advice. You've had some really awesome advice that I hope inspired anybody that's listening to move forward with their life and start making some positive changes. So thank you so much for sharing your story and everything you have to offer and your energy too.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So you can find Amy's information down below in the description, her website, social media links, and a link to that 45-minute introductory call to find out if her coaching is a good fit for you. And all information that you need to connect with both of us will be down below in the description. So thanks, everyone, for listening and tuning in. And thank you again, Amy, for joining us. And blessings to everybody on your journey.
Thank you.